Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 3 John chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. It says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. Just as you walk in truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Praise the Lord. Tremendous words. No greater joy. This morning on the way in, Gene and I were talking, and you'll get the full gist of that when we minister after the music. But, you know, one of the biggest things that has stifled the church, stifled Christians, is the fact that they have a knowledge of God, but they either don't know or they don't walk in the power thereof.
Amen.
And that's the reason that they're weak and sick. That's the reason that they bring calamity. And, you know, instead of good following them, evil follows them. It's not that they're not saved. I don't question a person's salvation. If they've made the declaration and called Jesus into their life and asked Him and invited Him in, I'm not going to say they're not saved. But the bottom line is, the Bible says we are fruit inspectors. We don't judge the person, but we judge what we see, whether the person is operating in what God says and what the reality of God, or they're walking in things that are not God. And that's anything that does not come from His truth, His Word. He is truth. So, praise the Lord this morning. I'm excited. God wants us to be able to walk in those things. He's provided those things. He's given us power and authority. And this morning, I'm excited about that. Amen? I've got some definitions and things, but I don't want to just go through them and throw them out as definitions. I want to talk about them. Pray for me. Pray that God's wisdom and understanding and insight will come through me. Then we can walk out of here today where, if we're lacking in any area of walking in power and authority in our lives, that'll change by the time we're ready to leave today. Amen? Are you ready for that? Is that what you came here for today? That's what I came here for. Praise God. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You for this day. Father, we thank You that You are our Father. Jesus, You are the Christ, the one who suffered for our redemption, for our being cleansed from everything unrighteous, unholy, unjust. And now we walk in power and authority, in wisdom and understanding, Lord. We thank You that for that this day. Holy Spirit, You come. We invite You. We want to be changed, directed into a correction and a direction for the right purposes, Lord, what You have planned. So we surrender this time. Thank You, Lord, that Your will be brought into this house by the Holy Spirit, in this place and in these places, Lord, in the hearts of us, Your people. We thank You for this, Lord. And now, Lord, we just want to stand and give You praise and honor and glory and worship today. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Father, I stand here this morning as Your servant. And I ask You, Lord, I look to You, Lord, to order my thoughts, proclaim my thoughts, order my steps in Your word, Lord. And Lord, let me speak what You have this morning, Lord, from Your wisdom, Your understanding, Your insight, Lord. I yield myself to You, Holy Spirit. Use me as the Father sees fit. And I thank You, Lord, for what You've given this morning and for the outcome, Lord, which we already proclaim is good in every life here, starting right here with me, Lord. We praise and thank You for this opportunity. And Lord, we thank You that when it's all finished, Your word, only Your word, Lord, will be sealed in the hearts of Your people. For that we praise and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I've had the opportunity to observe some different things over the past 30 days. Probably for a lot longer than that, but especially for the past 30 days. And on the way in this morning, Gene and I were talking, and Gene made some statements to me. I don't remember what they were. And I tried to, by the Holy Spirit, give her some insight into the operation of some things. One of the things the Scripture says, I'll see if I can find it, especially when it talks about communion, is there's a reason why people are sick and weak in our presence. And we all know that the reason for that is because that they don't rightfully discern the Lord's body. Now, what does that mean? Well, I'm going to tell you. Okay, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, I believe through verse 30. It says, therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Now, I just want to preface the message this morning with that particular scripture. One of the ways that we don't rightfully discern the Lord's body is we have a knowledge of the power of God. We acknowledge that it's real, that it's true. We acknowledge that we have power, but we don't walk in that power. Why not? Well, some of the observations I've made in my own life about me and about others is the fact that it's because we don't really, really put to use or understand what God has done for us. The power and authority that God's given us that is abundant in us if we will surrender to Him and let His Word be the only thing that we accept. Some of us, because of our careers, are in places where we see things and we operate in the natural so much that when it comes to things of the Spirit, we miss it. A lot of us have a lot of head knowledge, but we don't really rightfully discern and understand and let the Holy Spirit bring revelation to us of how we walk in the things that God has told us that He has. An example is, you can operate in the field of psychology, and because you're in that field so much, it's very easy. And this comes from a heart condition. This comes from a heart condition and not having the proper knowledge. You have a head knowledge, but you don't understand the power. In other words, you have never put into practice, you have never walked out the things that God has told you you are, you have, and the abilities that you hold inside of you because of the completed work of Jesus. Now, the work in us is not completed yet, but we're moving on step by step, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And we're growing. Amen? We're not growing? Come on. If you're not, we're going to pray for it right now. But the point is that what happens is when things come into our way or our lives, a circumstance, a calamity, attacks, you know, from the physical, from the financial, from every area, mentally, you know, just thoughts. And I'm not saying you're mentally ill, but I'm saying just thoughts that attack the spiritual mental stability that you're supposed to have, that God's given you. First of all, you are not safe. I used the example when we pulled in the parking lot this morning with Jean. I said, Jean, let me see your keys. She handed me her keys, and I said, now, Jean, I've got this nice car for you. Okay? Here's the keys. But if I don't go further than that and tell her the benefits of all of it, and then if I don't, which a lot of us know, in fact, we should all know the benefits of walking with God, walking in His power, but if I don't take that key, if she doesn't take that key, put it in the ignition, and make that car do the things that it's supposed to do in her control, hopefully controlled by a mental stability that God has given, then the car is useless. Jesus paid a price so that we could be saved from all of our inhibitions, all of our calamities, all of our sickness, all of our disease, all of our poverty, and all of our lack of peace. And if that's not operating in your life every moment that you breathe and you're awake and even in your sleep, then there's something missing that we need to address. Would you agree with that? And I want to go back and I want to look at just a few scriptures that I think are so poignant. And I don't want to just give the definitions. I want to talk about each individual part or item in the definitions of these scriptures. There's only two of them that I've got definitions for. And I want you to really, really let the Spirit of God, I'm trusting you and I'm trusting the Holy Spirit in you to really cause the eyes of your understanding to be illuminated this morning, to be enlightened. There are others who it may not be things outside that distract them and cause them to wonder if God's really who He says He is. Again, not doubting salvation. If you've asked the Lord to come into your life, that's between you and God. If you're not saved for, you know, in salvation, then that's between you and God. I'm not going there. Yeah, I believe if you've made the confession, then you're saved. But there's more to it than just that. It's a day-by-day walk. Salvation is more than just a one-time event where you say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you're the Son of God. Come into my life. Save me. But you surrender your life to Him and you become His servant and you give all control over to Him, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially. Amen? Give it all over to Him. And then God begins to work because He's bound by His Word to do that in your life and to change you. And as you begin to look at the Word and confess the Word and proclaim the Word out of your mouth, in, through, and over your circumstances and the things that affect your life on a daily basis, you begin to understand that you're walking in power and authority. And like the Scripture says, nothing shall by any means hurt you. What was meant for your harm, God turns to good. Amen? Do we all believe that, right? So the thing is, another example I use, and I know Bob understands this, well, we all do, but I mean, it's more prevalent in people who have any kind of a military understanding or background. And that is, when you go into the military, they don't just hand you manuals and say, okay, go learn this, and then come back when you're done learning it. They take you out and they show you page by page, line by line, and piece by piece, the equipment, the tools, the things that you need. Teach you how to march, teach you how to have military bearing, teach you how to operate weapons, how to disassemble them, reassemble them, to clean them. And they do that, for number one, for your safety. They do that so that you not only can see, but you put into practical purpose, or you're doing OJT, on-the-job training. And that's what this walk with Jesus is on-the-job training, daily with us. Okay? I want you to stop for a moment, and I want you to think about the many things that God has done and shown you in your life, where you know, there's no question, there's no doubt, unequivocally, God has operated in your life, and you have seen the benefit of walking in faith, releasing that faith, hanging on to that faith, and walking out and seeing the victory come. Amen? Praise the Lord. And I got to thinking about the goodness of God, and I got to meditating on that, and I got started looking at and taking apart Jeremiah 29:11, and looking at it completely. Is there anybody here who believes or who has any inclination or even a thought that God has not done everything He needs to do for us? And that's okay. I'm not asking you to answer me. I want you to search your heart. If you're not walking in the fullness of everything that God has, then it's time to do some examination. Self-examination. Amen? The other thing is, you know, we all know that we're, and I know some people don't like this, but the truth is the truth and you can't change it, that we're all called to be, not maybe not called to be, but we are all fruit inspectors. And what does that mean? Does that mean that I see something in Kathy's life and I judge Kathy by that? I'm just picking on Kathy because she's right here. This is by no means towards her or anything. But the point is, what I see, what I'm going to see is either going to tell me this is a person who's walking in what God has, walking in the knowledge, the power, the peace, the authority of what God has for her, or there's an area where she misses it. So what I judge is not Kathy, but I judge, well, God, there's something missing there. There's something not happening. Or I say, Lord, man, I've never seen a person like this. This person is walking in all you have. I need to examine myself. Where am I at? What's happening in my life? Am I walking in that same authority, that same power that He's given to us? Remember, listen carefully. Please, if you get nothing else out of the message, get this. God, the work that Jesus did, the work that God had for Jesus to complete, is completed. It is finished. He said that on the cross. Amen? You and I are the works in progress. It's not him that needs to do some more. It's us that need to do some more. And that's why it's imperative that we be in the Word. We study the Word. We meditate the Word. And we let the Holy Spirit bring that revelation, which is His job, to us, so that we can walk out and, when things happen, put into practice. Don't just wish and hope. The Bible says, cast all your care on Him because He cares for you. That's just one scripture. Now, you should take great joy, great hope, and great comfort in that scripture. Cast all of your care on Him because He cares for you. Now, stop and think for a minute or two what might be the cares in your life. Just consider that for a couple moments. What might be the cares in your life? What can you see that maybe has been a care yesterday, today, or a care that you might think you see coming tomorrow? Turn with me, if you will, to Jeremiah 29:11, and let's look at it. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, the thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Now let's examine that here. What is God saying? What is that? I mean, that sounds really good. That makes us feel good. And you say, well, you know, that's pretty nice, you know. That's cool. Yeah. And we turn around and we may walk out of here and never understanding exactly what God said, what He's trying to tell us. See, this is real. This is as tangible as anything you can touch, taste, see, smell, or hear. First of all, the word thoughts, for I know the thoughts. His thoughts are a device, a plan, a purpose. He doesn't just do things helter-skelter or just dump things on us. He has a purpose for everything He does and in everything He does and in everything He's given us. Can you say amen to that? Okay? His thoughts are inventions towards us, to give us inventions. That can be in the natural, things that are necessary for everyday use, to bless and make life easier for people, but it's also an invention spiritually. He's got a place, and He's got a place in the body where He's placed you and I. And if we don't fulfill that function, then our body suffers. The body of Christ, the body of Jesus, does not function the way it's supposed to function. It is inhibited. It is malfunctioning. It is lame, or halt, if you will. How many know when you've got some organ or something in your body or some limb that's not operating the way it should? You're not as effective, are you? Amen? So one of the things is, you can't be effective and nothing will change if you're disconnected from the head. Amen? Imagine that. What a concept. You know, one of the things I want to go back to, too, just talking about this not rightfully discerning the Lord's body. You know, we have, I don't know about y'all, I'm guilty. Little pains and things that have come over the years through dumb things that I've done or accidents that happened, you know. It was the enemy who wanted to rob me, destroy me. And in some areas, I've just accepted that. Okay, well, that's minor. And by accepted, I don't mean that I agree with it. It's supposed to be there, but I just, you know, hey, it's not really bothering me. Just once in a while, I get a little twinge, but that's okay. There are bigger fish to fry. No. Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead who came bodily into this world. He's the fullness. He is the fulfillment, the completeness of the Godhead bodily that came to this earth to do a work that God designed for Him to do. And God has designed, and He's telling you this through Jeremiah 29:11, that He has designed plans and thoughts for you. And the things that you walk in, you don't have to walk in. Don't accept little things that you think are insignificant. So it's not causing you to lose sleep and pain. So it's not causing you to be completely cast down because you don't have enough finances. So your back aches a little bit. Don't just shrug that off. Know that Jesus paid a complete price, a whole price. It was done even before He went to the cross. Go back and read and meditate. I admonish you, go back and read and meditate Isaiah 53. Especially verse 5, but all of it. And what you're going to find is that Jesus, and we know, man, it wasn't just a price he paid. It was a terrible price. Which of you would like to have been in his shoes? Be spat upon. Be smacked. Have a crown of thorns put on your head. Stabbed in the side. Nails put through your hands and feet. And hang there so that others, and as well as yourself, could be free. That doesn't sound like fun to me. And yet Jesus, because he paid that terrible price, has made it so that we are complete in every way, shape, fashion, or form. Now, once again, there's some growth involved. You don't just overnight walk in all the fullness of it. Just like in the military, you have so many weeks of basic training. You have so many weeks of advanced training. And then you know, depending on what field you go into, you may have some more weeks of that kind of training, too. Whatever MOS. You can tell me what the definition of that is. But anyway, you know, do you understand what I'm saying? So the point is, it's all on us. But he's done everything. But the point is, there comes a point once you've gathered all this knowledge and once you understand this, you have to put into practice and effectively use what God has given you and what the military has given you to be an effective soldier or air pilot in the Air Force or Marine or in the Navy to make those ships do what they're supposed to do, where you have to put it into practice. You have to follow through. It has to become second nature to you or it's worthless. Amen? Why is it that we as supposedly spiritual beings only receive half of or walk in half of what God has for us? Why is it there are places in our life, they could be strongholds? They could just be places where, you know that there's two kinds of sin? There's a sin of commission and the sin of omission. You omit what God says. You may not understand it. Once again, there are a lot of things in the plan of God and in the Word of God and in the life that we live that I don't understand. I can't tell you I have it figured out. I can't break it down for you like I can a pistol or a rifle and tell you this is for this. I can't tell you how it operates. I just know that it operates. Do you hear what I'm saying? I know that it operates. Why? Because I've tested it. I've tried it. I've tested Him and proved that He is faithful. He is sure. He does not lie. What He said He will do. Amen? Hallelujah. So God's got devices and plans and purposes and inventions. Now what's an invention? An invention is a product of the imagination. You're only limited by your thinking, by your imagination. Or it's an act or process of inventing. He says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Hallelujah. He's already got it planned out. Our responsibility is just to find out what those plans are for our life and walk in them. And a lot of times, in some areas, that may take a lifetime of walking with God, walking with the Lord. Amen? In other areas, we find out quickly, and we operate in them. We find out why He's given us the gifts and the talents that He's given us. Amen? Hallelujah. Moving on. I know the thoughts that I think, and that word think means the thoughts that I plan, or I calculate, or I imagine, or devise. Whoa. I don't know about y'all, but I'm already seeing that there's a lot more to this than just those cute little words that we say, you know, say, man, that's really good, that's what God says, and then turn and walk out of here, and we have no more walking in it than fly to the moon. It's got to become real to you. And it's got to become real to me to become effective in our lives. And that means with all the faith we have and the things that we've trusted God for, that we've seen God deliver us from, does God say that there's anything that He withholds from us? Okay. No good thing. Well, the things of God are good things, aren't they?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So that means there's nothing in God that He's withholding from us. We have the same ability as the Pauls, the Peters, all the disciples, and even Jesus. Didn't He say, you'll do the same things I do and even greater than these? And why is that? He said, I'm no respecter of persons. Well, you know, because it's Donna, I don't know, you know, there might be some things that I might want to. No way, Jose. He loves us and He operates in us in spite of ourselves. If we just surrender, See, you can't do everything perfect in your ability. And you're going to mess up along the way. Y'all missed a good place to say amen. I've done that. I know you've done that. But that's not the end of the story. If you have a broken and a contrite heart towards God and living for Him, you're going to make... But He said, these things you'll do in even greater things. We've already read in Deuteronomy 28:13, you know, you're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Amen? Do you believe that today? Is that real in your life, or are you struggling with that? And there's no shame if you're struggling, but let's move on. Let's get a hold of it once and for all. Let's not consider what the enemy comes and brings to us. Let's consider what God's done and see that we've walked out with victory. Amen? Where's your focus today? Where's your thinking? Are you a victim or are you a victor? Now, I know what God's Word says, and I choose to believe God's Word. And that is we're victors, not victims. Amen? I don't care what the enemy throws my way. I don't care what he throws your way. I believe for you, whether you do or not, and I know you do, that you're a victor. You have the knowledge of God. You have the peace of God. You have the wisdom of God. You have the insight and the knowledge to walk in and operate in the things of God. Again, there may be some things you're still searching out, you're still walking in, and we're going to do that from the day we're born till the day we draw our last breath. It's not over till we meet Him, till we come face to face with Him. And that's what all of this is about. Amen? Running the whole race to win the prize. And in this case, the prize is available to everyone, not just a few of us. Amen? I hear the words in my spirit echoing, how many times would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not? Folks, that's not just something written on a page. That's an indictment against people who will not, who refuse to, walk in the knowledge of God, in the power of God. How many know that knowledge is power? Let me say that again. Knowledge is power. Not just in the natural, but in the spiritual. The more knowledge you have, the more power you have. Because you have the ability to do what Jesus said, and that is reign and have dominion and take the dominion He's given you back again and walk in the things He has said and done. There was a time in my life because of some circumstances that I stopped boldly praying for people. That was way back in my young Christian life. Because something happened, nothing happened. I got ridiculed and told, you know, all kinds of things. Thought that I had messed up and that, you know, and I'll be honest with you, it caused doubt in me. Didn't mean I didn't love God, but it caused doubt in me. I wasn't bold. But that's because I didn't understand that it wasn't me who was in the limelight, it was God. Had nothing to do with me except my obedience. That's the only thing that played into the picture. My obedience. How many know what I'm talking about? Just because you don't see it happen the first or second time, just because you don't feel it immediately, or just because you still see it, does not mean it's not real. That's the place where you have to become so solidly convinced. Amen? Convinced. Let me ask you this. What are you convinced of today? Both, more importantly, the spiritual, but in the natural too. What are you convinced of that nobody can shake you on? You're convinced. There's no change in your mind. The only thing that's going to change your mind is the Holy Spirit. But there are some things that are so absolute that there's no changing the mind. You know that it's absolute. You know it's true. We need to be that kind of people in God. So God's devised. His thoughts are... He's devised a plan, a purpose, an invention for you and for you to operate in, and it's good. Amen? And He's thought, His thoughts is to, He calculates, thoughts are not just thinking towards you, but thoughts that He's thinking about you even now, calculating, imagining, devising these plans. Says the Lord, thoughts of peace. Now listen carefully to what that peace is. You may think you have a definition or an understanding, and you may have. I'm not here to question that. But here's what the Greek says. That word peace means thoughts of completeness. Thoughts of soundness. thoughts concerning your welfare, thoughts concerning your safety, your health, your prosperity, your tranquility. Listen, even your contentment, friendship, and more important than any of them all, is a covenant relationship with God. Not only walking in it, but not only knowing you have it, but walking in it. A covenant relationship. That means that neither side has the right to break it. You may have the ability, but you don't have the right. And why would you want to... How many here really have contemplated or studied out what covenant is? If I make a covenant, especially if I'm a national leader like a king or a prince, and I make a covenant with another people or another country, and I lay everything I have out and say, what I have is yours. If you're in trouble, I'll be there to help you. If you need something, I'll be there to meet that need. And that's reciprocal. Oh, you mean there's something I have to do? Yes. Or the covenant's not a covenant. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why marriages fail. They don't understand that there's a covenant there that you have made between you and that other person in the eyes and in the sight of God. Now listen, if you violate the covenant, what happens? In the worldly covenants, you're subject to death. But in the spiritual, what comes before that is you begin to start losing out on the blessings and seeing God operate in your behalf. For you to sign and make a covenant with somebody, you have to be convinced, first of all, of what your commitment is in the relationship, but convinced that they have the same commitment. Amen? Or it's not going to work, is it? That peace and safety that you're looking for and that you're counting on is not going to be there, is it? Are you with me so far? That's how important it is. It's a covenant relationship that you've entered into. And it was sealed with blood. The blood of Jesus. Amen? Thoughts of peace and not of evil. And that word evil is anything bad. He's not got any thoughts that are bad towards you. Any thoughts that are disagreeable towards you. He's not got any thoughts that are malignant towards you. Vindictive. I'm just telling you, malignant, this is what malignant covers. Anything vindictive, anything harmful, unpleasant, anything that gives you pain or unhappiness or misery, anything hurtful or unkind or distressful or adversarial, injurious or wrong. It's important that you consider all of these. It's important that you consider all of these. See, he's living out the covenant. And in that covenant, this is where he sees you. See, he's got confidence in you that you don't have in yourself. All you need to do to be able to walk in that confidence for yourself is to surrender to him in everything. Don't just accept little things as, well, that's not important. God says everything in your life. You're his child. When your child pricks a finger on a thorn, stumbles and falls, or scrapes their knee, or scrapes their elbow, or bangs their head, is that not important to you? Do you not come to them and do everything you can to comfort them, to bind them up? Amen? Do you think when you run to God that he doesn't do the same thing or he doesn't have the same feelings? You're his child. This week on the news, they've been talking a great deal about, and on one particular program, they were talking about bullying. How one young man, now listen, the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. There was a young man, 11 years old, it's tragic, who was picked on, belittled, berated, and bullied by other kids. It affected him so badly that he went out and committed suicide. 11 years old. Devastated his family. They couldn't even go to the upstairs where he had his bedroom. The aunt was just beside herself. She couldn't heal. They were living in the house where they found him. That's what the enemy wants to do to you and I. He wants to belittle, berate, cause us to doubt, cause us all those things that are not godly, to come into our lives so he can detract us from the word, not walk in the authority and the power we have, which is in the word and by the spoken word out of our mouth, and the things we prophesy by confessing the word of God, and cause us to come to the place where we give up and die. Just a little sleep, just a little slumber, and so will your poverty come. How about y'all? That makes me hopping mad. I will not tolerate a bully in my presence. So why would we tolerate that bully Satan? He's not just a bad guy. He deserves to be hated. He deserves to be reviled. He deserves to be ignored. To be abused in any way we can by the Word of God. And by setting people free, by proclaiming the truth. And having the things that we need in our lives, in every aspect, accomplished because we stood in faith, so that we can say, this is what God has done, this is what God wants to do, this is what he thinks about you, surrender to him, and you walk free and whole and delivered, and never have any situation that you can't face in your life again. Hallelujah. Y'all know, a young man died this past week, or a week, maybe a week and a half ago, 29 years old, a heart problem. But you see, even if he had a knowledge of God, he didn't know how to operate in the power of God, and it didn't profit him. Now, I don't know where he's at. I want to believe he's in God. I'll only know that when I get there. But the point is, why wouldn't the mother and the family, the sister, be devastated, the aunts, be devastated by that? Just like this aunt and this woman who's lost their 11-year-old son and 11-year-old nephew. The brothers and sisters, devastated because of this. And yet what they have done is they've operated in a principle of God, and they've turned what was meant for harm in their ability. And you know what? They acknowledge God. They still acknowledge God in this. And they're turning it to good. Are they so smart? No. But out of their calamity and out of their need, God has brought something good that is benefiting the rest of this country. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Turn with me to Hebrews 11:1. I'm just going to touch on these. I don't want you focused on the definitions. I want you focused on the power and the depth of what these definitions mean in the scripture we read and we meditate on. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. I'm going to tell you once again, I think I've told you before, that word substance means there's a substructure, a foundation, what is firm, what has actual existence, a firmness, a resolution, a confidence, an assurance. Now faith is the substructure, the foundation. Faith is what is firm, what has actual existence, what has firmness and resolution, confidence and assurance. And those last three are the most important, as far as I'm concerned. Firmness, resolution, confidence, and assurance. Faith, that's what the substance of faith is. Of things hoped for. Believed for is probably a better word at this point. You have things that you hope for. God is the way. God is the answer.
Amen.
Amen? That word evidence means the evidence of things not seen. The substance of the faith is the evidence. In other words, it's the proof that by which a thing is proved or tested, or the conviction. The conviction. Are you convinced? Are you convicted that God's word is true and that everything he has, everything he is, has now been given to you, and that you walk in the fullness of what God has? He said, and I believe it's in the book of Romans, he says, everything that I have has been given to me by God. And he says, all that's mine is yours. God gave it to me and I give it to you. That's paraphrased, but you know what I'm saying. Amen? I give it to you. How am I going to benefit? How are you going to benefit other people? If there's places in our lives where we are not walking in the fullness of God, where we let the enemy come, another voice, tell us something totally different from what the shepherd has said. And how are we not going to go astray? It may only be for a second, but again, in Habakkuk, it says, consider your ways. Consider your ways. God never comes on the scene with a word to tear people down, but to put his arms around them and say, I love you, and I've got so much more for you if you'll just listen to me, adhere to, respect the word, and walk in the word. Make up your mind, the word is more real than what I see, what I feel, what I experience. Amen? Hebrews 6, 13 and 14 says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, listen, God made the promise. He made the promise. And then, imagine that. Because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. God gave the promise, and he's the one that fulfilled the promise to give Abraham a son. And he multiplied him. Amen? You and I are products of that. As God's kids, has that died away? Is that just for Abraham? Is that covenant that he made with Abraham not in effect still today in our lives if we're walking with God? It is. I'll answer for you. It is still in effect. We observe and enjoy the benefits and the blessing of the benefits of that covenant that was made with Abraham today. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. He couldn't swear by anybody higher, so he swore by himself. He said, not one jot, not one tittle of my word will pass away until all is fulfilled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Does that give you hope this morning?
Amen.
That give you joy? Does it light a fire in your exciter so you can get excited? Hallelujah. Gene? Hallelujah. Listen carefully. 3 John 1, 2 and 3. Once again, powerful scriptures. Powerful scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Beloved, I pray. This is God's heart, and he's speaking about you and I. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper and be and prosper in all things. In fact, it doesn't end there. It's prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. We need to stop accepting things that we look at that are natural as prosperity. The most important prosperity, the most powerful prosperity you can walk in is your soul prospering. Growing in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Growing in His Word. Growing in the knowledge of how to operate His Word. How to speak His Word. And prophesy into situations that need prophesy into. And what does that mean? Just simply praying the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, that no weapon formed against me will prosper. I thank you, Lord, as I meditate that scripture, that means no weapon, no attack, no device, no thing will cause that attack to stand in my life. Amen? That's the reason we ruminate or meditate on the Word. Continue. Because it goes from up here down here, and then you can't be shaken. And then when the situation comes, the Holy Spirit reminds you of that scripture. You speak that into that situation and you watch the creative life and power of God come into that situation and change it. Amen? Blessing you and others who see it. Causing jealousy to rise up in them and say, I want what you have. When was the last time somebody walked up to you and said, man, there's something different about you. I've never met anybody like you. I want what you have. I'm ashamed it doesn't happen as much as I'd like. But that's not the end of the story. I'm getting better. Because every day I wake up, it's a new day in the Lord. My salvation's new at that point. And you see, the whole thing is because I trust Him in that way, I'm saved from all the calamity and all the strife and all the things that tear the world down that cause Christians, even who claim to be Christians, to walk in defeat And I walk in health and prosperity because I've chosen to make that decision. To believe Him. And not let the enemy keep me in a place of instability, insecurity. Amen? This is what's called building your house on the rock. So when the storms of life come, the waters rage and the winds blow like the old big bad wolf, your house can't be destroyed. It stood solidly because you have that foundation. This is the foundation. Not only reading it, but meditating it, walking in it, putting it into practice. Unlike those people who have a knowledge of God, but they deny the power because they really don't know how to walk in the power because they haven't been taught correctly. Churches that teach, you're saved, that's all it takes. Now you go out, you do whatever you want to do, you talk however you want to talk. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something today. Family of God, listen carefully. When somebody gets so upset, first of all, that's a sign they're not walking in the knowledge of God and the power of God. But when they get upset, they go out and throw accusations against you and say, you're just self-righteous, you're just selfish, you think everything you do is right. Yes, I do. Now, is that the truth? No. But that's between me and God because God's changing me. But the point is when they make those accusations, it's because their own life is not where it needs to be with God. The Bible says there will be false accusers. And the Bible says that every tongue that rises in judgment against you, your inheritance, your heritage is to condemn those words. Not the person, the words. There's a reason why they're saying those things and why those things are coming out of their mouth. It's because they're not walking in the fullness and the power. They may not know how. Or because they've been taught wrong. Whether it verbally came out of the mouth, or whether it's just a current that undergoes in the church, I want you to understand that if you ever hear anything wrong come out of this church, or from this pulpit, I don't care who it is, even Stan Setliff, you have a right to go in love and say, wait a minute, would you please explain this? I don't think I understand. And if it doesn't line up with the Word, and it doesn't bring peace to your spirit, because the Spirit and the Word agree, then it's time to say, wait a minute, God. Father, I'm not sure He's right in this. I don't condemn Him. I don't judge Him. But Lord, Holy Spirit, go. Minister to Him and minister to me. And what do you think is going to happen? I know what's going to happen. Correction for one or both. Amen? Hallelujah. Who loses here? Everybody wins. See? But if you do it the other way, it breaks fellowship. Spitting out venom like that, that breaks fellowship. And the only reason a person does that kind of thing is because they don't have the peace in their own life. Amen? Does that make sense? Does that just logical? Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. People walk in and say, man, Marie, I was in trouble. I wasn't thinking straight. Whether they're saved or unsaved, I didn't know. And Marie, Bob, Harry, Bill, Kathy, Jean, Patrick, Donna, Fran, ministered the word. Now I'm in my right mind. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth, because they were told the truth that is in you, just as you walk in truth. You got to walk in it before you can testify of it, right? Amen? You can't practice a nursing profession if you don't have the training and put it into practice, can you? It's useless. Just like that car out there. It's not driven, if it's not started, if it doesn't carry you places and do things for you, it's useless. Oh man, look at that nice car I got. Oh, isn't that a nice car? Yeah, pretty much. For those of you who didn't catch that, Bob said, but verse 4, this is the verse that touched my heart. The first time I remember it is when my daughter gave me a little key fob. It said, Dad, wise teacher. No greater joy than my children walk in truth. See, the truth is you're never alone. The truth is, you're never in a place beyond God's help. You're never in a place that God doesn't, and where He isn't the answer. Understand? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Here's my confession. God's just given us the first present of the season. Knowledge in His Word. The ability and the insight to effectively walk in it and see victory in our lives. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. Are you blessed this morning? Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. With all that, I just fell in love with Him all over again. And I'm more in love with Him today than I've ever been in my life. Because His plans for me are good and not for evil. His plans are to give me prosperity in every point of my life. Amen? Hallelujah. If you want the prayer of agreement this morning, if you want to make a confession this morning that things are going to be different in your life from here on out, we want to agree with you. Amen? Though you're not walking alone, we need one another as much as we need Him. He's the one we need more first and foremost, but we need one another. Amen? Hallelujah.
God wants us to walk in health, but He wants
yes.
to walk us. We want to walk in a place that is completely free of any kind of
Amen.
Sickness or disease.
Amen. Amen.
And so Donna's been having a little bit of pain in the neck here, and so we just want to say that she walks in health, we walk in health, because if she hurts, I hurt. Just like the Lord, if I hurt, He's going to hurt.
Amen. Amen.
So we want to walk in complete freedom from all
What is the pain in your neck?
Satan poking at me.
That's yeah, right. He is a pain in the neck.
That's
yeah,
right.
So.
Pain in the rear, however you want to say it. He's just a royal pain. That's all he is.
So
Father, in Jesus' name. Hang on a minute. I've been instructed to do this. Anybody else? Anybody else? So, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You that by Your bruised blood and stripes that You've healed. Satan, I rebuke you. I take authority over you, and I command you to leave this body right now. This pain ceases to exist and to operate in this body. She's healed. She's the healed. She has health. She walks in it. And by Your bruises and blood and stripes, it's done in Jesus' name. And we see the pain that You sent Satan coming back on you. Now you've got a crick and a poke in your neck. In Jesus' name. And we thank You, Lord, and give You honor and glory. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Healed and delivered and set free. Hallelujah. Doesn't make any difference what caused it. Well, we know what caused it. What the symptoms are, she's healed. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, as I pray right now and as I close my eyes, Lord, I see Your people, Lord. And I thank You, Lord, that this message has affected the things that try to come against Your people that are in this house, Lord. But Your people all over, Lord, Your body. And I thank You, Lord, that now we're turning around and we're boldly infecting those things that have tried to affect us with the Word of God, the power of God, and the stand. We, having done all to stand, we stand now and we thank You that it's done in the name of Jesus. Healing, deliverance, soundness of mind, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost over all of Your people. I send it out now, Lord. I send it out in Jesus' name. To Your people, Lord. I receive it Father, in Jesus' name, I send it out to your people, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Sing this with me this morning. There's a great and mighty army in the earth today, dressed in splendid armor, they're all in full array. The hosts of darkness tremble as we walk their way. There's a great and mighty army in the earth today. So let's shout the victory. The enemy is under our feet. So let's shout the victory. For great is our King. Great is our King, great the King of Kings. There's a great and mighty army in the earth today, dressed in splendid armor, we're all in full array. The hosts of Drenton and Argus friend, we walk their way. There's a great and mighty army in the earth today. So let's shout the victory. The enemy is under our feet. So let's shout the victory. For great is our King, great is the King, great is the King of Kings. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, right now, we just thank you for this day and this time. I thank you for your people. I thank you, Lord, we've been affected and infected by your word. Full of the word, Lord. Completely, completely infected with your word, Lord. Your peace, your power, your praise, your worship, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you go with these people. They're going to have the best week they've ever had. I prophesy that. I declare that in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we thank you for this time of fellowship we're going to enter into. Father, we thank you for the food, the provision that you've given to us, Lord. Your goodness and your abundance, Lord. Bless those who prepared the food, Lord. We now sanctify it by your word and this prayer in Jesus' name, and we give you all thanks and praise. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.